2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, well, I will keep on boasting, although it doesn't do any good. Now he's being a bit sarcastic. Sarcastic is when you say something but you don't really mean it seriously. He's been boasting in the last chapter about all the terrible things he went through, but he's not doing it in pride, really. He's saying, look, you want to believe in these people who come and call themselves super apostles? They haven't suffered half of what I went through, not a fraction. So he now says, I'll now talk about visions and revelations that were given to me by the Lord. I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago who was snatched up to the third heaven. Whether this was in the flesh or not, I don't know, only God knows. I say again, this man was caught up to paradise, whether in the flesh or not, I don't know. And there he heard things which cannot be spoken, things that the lips of a man may not repeat. So about this man I will boast, but I won't boast about myself, apart from the things which concern my weakness. If I wanted to boast, I would not be a fool, because I'd be telling the truth, but I will not boast anymore, because I don't want anyone to have a higher opinion of me than they ought to have. But to keep me from being lifted up with pride, so I think that the revelations that he's talking about, that this man had 14 years ago, he's talking about himself. But he will not say it was me. And he says, because of this, I was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, of the adversary, to buffet me and to keep me from becoming proud. So the common idea that Satan is a fallen angel that's trying to make you sin just doesn't fit here, because here he says that this messenger of the adversary, the enemy, or the Satan, actually stopped him from sinning, stopped him from getting proud. So, what is this messenger of the enemy? I think he's saying that, of course, he had many enemies, particularly the Jews, who it seems to me were the big adversary or Satan in his life. And yet God worked through them in order to keep Paul humble. I prayed to the Lord 3 times about this and asked him to remove it, but his reply was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So this is just how God likes to work, through our weakness. I rejoice then in my weaknesses, so that I might feel the power of Christ working through me. And so I rejoice in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties, for the sake of the Lord Jesus. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So you can see then that this is typical of how God works. He loves to work through the weak, like with Moses having a stutter and Paul having a bodily appearance, he says, that was not strong, that was weak. And God loves to work through that. So if you think you're too young or you're just not qualified to do God's work, well, that actually will be used by God, because this is how he loves to work. I'm acting like a fool because you made me. You are the ones who ought to show that you now approve me. For even if I am nothing, I am in no way inferior to these so-called super apostles that you're following, the miracles and wonders and signs that prove that I am an apostle were done in your presence with much patience. How were you treated any worse than the other churches, except that I didn't keep asking you for financial help? Forgive me for being so unfair. He's being, again, sarcastic. This is now the 3rd time that I'm coming to you, and I will, again, not make any financial demand on you, for I want you and not your money. After all, children shouldn't have to provide for their parents, and Paul was like their spiritual father, but parents should provide for their children. So I will gladly spend and be spent in order to help you. But it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. So then, I was not a burden to you. Somebody would say that I was deceitful and tried to trap you and manipulate you. But how did I do that? Did I ever take any advantage of you through any of the messengers I sent to you? I begged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. That's Timothy, I think. Would you say that Titus somehow took advantage of you? Do he and I not behave from the very same motives and act in the same way? It might appear that all the way through I'm trying to defend myself to you. No, we speak as the Lord Jesus would wish us to speak, and we speak in the presence of God. Now, you should always remember that whatever words you say to somebody, you are speaking in the presence of God, because God sees and knows all things. And this should really affect how we speak and the words that we use. We do everything, beloved, for your building up. I'm afraid that when I arrive, I will find you different from how we would like you to be. And you may find me different from how you'd prefer me to be. I fear that when I come, there'll be quarreling and jealousy, bad temper, insults, gossip, pride, and disorder. I fear that the next time I come, my God will humble me in your presence, and I will have to lament over many of you who have sinned in the past and have not repented of their immorality. So, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a very good visit, and that's why he so wants them to repent and change, because he loves them so much.